on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May I speak, and may we listen, in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Do please be seated. Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you. Ask me for whatever you wish. King Herod, in an act of apparent generosity, is keen to please not only Herodias' daughter and find favour with her mother, but also to display to his birthday guests what a fine and generous and honourable man he really is, or rather that he would like them to believe that he is. And yet this act of seeming generosity to the young girl is born out of Herod's selfish egotism. And it is an offer that quickly turns sour. Ask me for whatever you want. Perhaps Herod imagined that the young girl, after dancing for him, would have asked for some expensive jewellery or fine clothes or maybe a nice pony. He hadn't reckoned that his somewhat cynical gesture in offering so much would be met by the even more cynical and devious response of Herodias. When offered anything she wanted, the young girl is manipulated into asking for the head of John the Baptist. A gift was offered and a bad choice was made. For both giver and receiver acted out of selfishness, driven by egotistical ambition. And a day of celebration turns instead into a day of horror. I think it's probably quite hard to imagine quite what the atmosphere at that birthday party would have been like after such a gruesome occurrence. Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And yet this same question is also offered to us. Not by Herod or some other self-seeking despot who wants to manipulate our desires, but it is an offer given to us daily by God. Later in Mark's Gospel, we hear Jesus pose this question when he encounters a blind man. What do you want me to do for you? In other words, what is your deepest desire, your greatest need? Jesus asks the blind man. And how can I serve your needs? And elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus goes on to assure the disciples that whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it for you. We too, my friends, can ask for whatever we want. Now that is an extraordinarily generous offer. And unlike Herod's, it is not limited up to half the kingdom. For we are the inheritors, the heirs of the whole kingdom of God, all of it. And so when presented with this offer, how should we respond? Well, to begin with, we must remember that God can only give good gifts. For his desire is always for our good. We are not to ask for the heads of our opponents or to seek the downfall of those we might dislike. And we know we are not to crave wealth, to heap up riches for ourselves as if salvation could be found in possessions. So I think asking God for a lottery win might well be a bit of an abuse of that offer. So what good gifts are on offer? What should we ask for? What is our soul's deepest longing? Throughout Scripture, we encounter people who are in need of healing, of liberation, and of hope. For without hope, we cannot truly live, and yet the gift of hope is freely given and made perfect for us through the riches of God's grace that he lavishes upon us through Jesus Christ. As we heard in that reading from Ephesians, the riches of his grace are lavished upon us. They're not rationed out or meanly distributed to just a few good deserving souls. It's not a time-limited offer with terms and conditions in the small print, but it is an exuberant, an extravagant, a prolificate gift that is poured out from the cross, so that when Jesus invites us to ask him for whatever we want, we can dare to ask for a full and overflowing portion of his grace. In fact, he wants to give us so much grace that we each of us have plenty to share with the world. The promise of God's gift of grace has been made known throughout the ages through the physical presence of the Ark of the Covenant, a solid, tangible sign which resided in the midst of God's people. Then the promise was made flesh in the living, breathing covenant of Christ. And now the promise of his grace is made known in the Ark of his church, here in St. Clement's, in churches all across Prague, and throughout the world in our home churches, wherever those might be. And we, my friends, are the inheritors and the custodians of that gift of grace. For it is grace alone that has brought us all here this morning. Now, I won't bore you with my own personal story, but I can assure you that I am only standing here before you this morning in this beautiful church, in this beautiful city, thanks to the grace of God. And later it will be grace that will lead us from here as we later go out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer for all of us is throughout this week ahead, we might be aware of God's grace being lavished upon us, upon our families, upon our friends and our communities, and to look for the signs of the kingdom wherever we find ourselves. And may we be so bold as to live with open hands and open hearts, so that when the King of Kings invites us to ask for whatever we want, we will be lavished with grace upon grace, so that as we freely receive, we too might also freely give of his gifts to those that we encounter. Amen.